Well, I just want to share a quick message with you this morning about the resurrection. I get to tell the greatest story in history, and I'm excited about that. Look at Matthew chapter 28 this morning if you're with me in your Bibles. And I think we might have it up here if the screen's working, maybe. All right. And we're just going to read through this and a story that is recounted in all four Gospels of the resurrection. Now, after the Sabbath, it says in verse 1, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. Now, in Matthew's version, it talks about Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, as they were going towards the grave that early dawn morning, even before it was dark or even before it was light on Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago. And as they were going, I can only think what these two were thinking about. They were going to anoint the body of a dead Jesus, they thought. And as they went, you can only imagine what was going through their minds. It was 2 days since the crucifixion and the brutal death of Jesus. Mary Magdalene here had followed Jesus for most of his ministry. She had been one of the women who went with him and supported his ministry. She had been alongside of him to see all of his teachings and witness his miracles and his signs and wonders that he performed. She had personally experienced the power of God in a mighty way, being set free of 7 demons. And all the other women with them had also been touched by the power of God. And yet she had seen this brutal crucifixion 2 days before. And there she was. I can imagine the grief and the pain she felt. And then there was Mary, the mother of Jesus. She had grown up. She had seen Jesus grown up. She had seen the prophetic fulfillment of this boy born of her womb. She had seen all him as a young child doing the Father's business. Her whole life, she had watched him just grow and mature in the Lord and grow strong in stature in the favor of the Lord as he grew. She had seen the miracles. She had seen the signs and wonders. And many times, Mary, as she had observed the things going on in Jesus' life, it says she saw them and she considered, she pondered these things in her heart. She considered these things. And I can't imagine what she was thinking as she had just seen her own son be brutally murdered on the cross. And here she is going to the grave. But it says that, and then one version it says that these two had asked a question, who will roll away the stone? Who will roll away the tombstone that we might go in? And you know, this is a picture for us this morning. You know, that tombstone represents to us everything that stands between us and the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. If you think about it, you know, many times we are clouded by unbelief. Until the tombstone is rolled away in our own hearts, we are left believing in a dead Christ and a powerless God who is unable to save us. Until the tombstone is rolled away from our hearts, we are bound by fear of death. We are bound by death's control and bondage. But when that tombstone is rolled away, there's victory over death, hell, and the grave. It took the supernatural power of God to remove, to roll back that tombstone that day. And today it still takes the supernatural power of God to roll back the tombstone in your life that you may begin to see a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And that's what we need this morning, is a revelation of the risen God, the risen Lord. Jesus in his resurrected body, you know, he didn't need to roll away that stone. It says that he passed through walls. So why was the stone rolled away? Was it for him to get out? No, it was for us disciples to go in, that we might see the empty tomb and the power of God manifested on that day. Amen. As they were standing there, we read on, there was a great earthquake. You know, the earth shook twice that weekend. It shook when Jesus died. And the Bible says that it shook, and then that the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, and it was made a way for us to enter into the Holy of Holies. It also, when it shook, it demonstrated the power of God there in that moment as well. And the centurion who was standing by watching this event said, surely he was the Son of God. This time it shook because a grave could not contain the truth, the man, Jesus Christ, who is grace and truth revealed. It shook because victory over death, hell, and the grave had taken place. There was a second shaking that morning. A famous preacher named Peter Marshall once said, the stone was rolled away from the door not to permit Christ to come out, but enable us to go in. Hallelujah. So we read on, before verse 3, it says, an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here." Someone say that this morning. He is not here. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. In another account in Luke's gospel, it asks, the angels ask them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" I want you to think about that question this morning, because I think it has relevance to our lives today. Why do we seek the living among the dead? Everybody is seeking for some way to fulfill their life, and yet we look to dead things. We look to dead places, and only Jesus can fulfill in our life. There is a hole that is huge in your life, and most people spend most of their life trying to fill that hole and satisfy that gap in their life, but they can't, because it can only be filled by one, and that's Jesus Christ. You may seek wealth and fame and fortune. You may seek all these things. You may seek drugs, alcohol, relationships, but you're still left empty because there's only one who can fill the hole. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus is the living one. In him was light, and the light was the life of men. That light shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it, could not overcome it. In the middle of that dark tomb, Jesus' light shined forth, and that darkness was dispelled, and even the glory of his light was upon that very angel that morning as he sat upon that rolled away stone. The glory of the light of Jesus Christ, of the gospel of Jesus Christ shining forth from a tomb 2,000 years ago, is still shining forth today. Hallelujah. Amen. In that light, there is life. And he came, church, he came. Why did he come? That we might have life, and that we might have it that more abundantly. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, it says in John chapter 10, verse 10. But he came that we might have life. How many are thankful for the life he gave this morning? Hallelujah. I can just tell you my personal testimony. It's almost 20 years. This fall it will be 20 years that I stood about right there, actually where our table is. And I was invited to a Friday night revival service, and the power of God was moving powerfully upon the church, and I had not been in church for a long time. I was in darkness myself. I was in my own tomb of sin and lost and fighting the call of God in my life. And I can remember just being dragged in there. Someone said to me, "Come and see." My mom called me that week, all week. "Come and see what's going on. Come and see what God's doing in this place." And I'm like, "All right, Mom, I'll come." When I came that night, I didn't know what was in store. I had no idea what was going to happen. But I remember as I stood there and the evangelist came and prayed with me that the power of God touched my life. And when it did, I became distinctly aware that God still loved me. God still loved me. He had not given up on me. As much as I had resisted him, as much as I had denied his call in my life, as much as I had fought the call of God, as much as I had fought his love and his grace and his mercy that were new every morning, God still loved me. Not only did God still love me, he still wanted to touch my life, and he did that night, and I'll never be the same again. And he showed me in that night, he said, "Everything, Jonathan, that you have gone after is a counterfeit. What I have for you is the real thing. Now you make the choice." And I'm going to tell you, if you've tasted of God and seen that he's good, you cannot go back to the world. It just won't taste the same. And I'm here to testify this morning of that because of the resurrection power of God. The angel said, "He's not here. He has risen just as he said." Now, I don't know what happened to these women. I'm sure they were overcome by grief and circumstances, but it's not like Jesus hadn't told his disciples many times what was going to happen. In fact, in John chapter 2, he said this, Jesus answered them, "You destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it talks about him telling the disciples. He said, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and yet be raised on the third day." Says it several times in the gospel. Says he taught them this. How many know that, you know, life circumstances can overwhelm us and we forget what the Word of God promises us. We forget what God has done for us. We forget the good works of God, what he has done to save us, what he has done to deliver us and to set us free. Sometimes circumstances in life overcome us and we forget the Word of God, but it still remains true. God is a God who fulfills his promises. He fulfills his Word. His Word will accomplish what he desires. and it will succeed in the matter for which he sent it. Jesus was the Word of God. He was sent into the world to accomplish his work. And that was salvation for you and me, and to get victory over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Oddly enough, even Jesus' enemies knew that he had promised this. They set the guard saying, hey, on the third day, he said he would raise again. You better be guarding that tomb so that they don't come and, cause everybody to think that he rose from the dead. They knew it. I don't know why folks forgot it. Maybe the grief of the moment overcame them. But then I want you to see what the angel said next. He said, come, we're back in verse 6. Come see the place where he was lying. Come see the place where he was lying. That word come is an invitation. It is a warm invitation, any one of us, to come to him. Just like he said in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He invites us to come to him. He invites us to come see what he's done, to see the powerful, miracle-working power of God at work. Amen? That invitation is still as powerful today as it was then. It's just like the Samaritan woman. She had a personal experience with Jesus Christ at the well, and he told her all about her life. And he revealed to her that he was the Messiah. And you know, that experience so impacted her, she had to go tell some people, come and see. Is he not the Messiah? Come and see that he's been raised from the dead. Is he not the Son of God declared by power of resurrection? Come and see it, church. Come and see it, people, that he has been raised from the dead. And he is the Son of God. Seeing speaks to our personal experience. You know, many of us know what Easter is about. We know that it's about Jesus, the cross, and we know about the resurrection. There's many in America who could probably answer the what of Easter, but can they answer the why? Can they answer it from a personal experience? There's many of us who are in church a long time. Myself, I was like this, who lacked the personal experience with Jesus. I knew all the what's of Christianity, but I lacked that personal experience. And I'm going to tell you, Christianity is not about just a set of doctrines or beliefs. It is an active faith that operates in response to the promptings of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is calling us to say, come and see. Come and experience Jesus personally this morning. Come and let him touch you with his power and his grace this morning. That's the invitation. You know, when Peter eventually came to this tomb for himself, it says in Luke that he left there in a great marvel. When John came, he looked in and he saw the neatly folded linen cloth in the tomb. And it says of John that he saw and he believed. You could not look upon that scene in the tomb and say, well, somebody stole his body, because it was nice and orderly. God had raised his son, and he knew it, and he believed. God says this morning, come and see. A personal experience with Christ will always leave us in awe and great joy. It says that when the women left after this encounter with the angel and in the tomb, the empty tomb, that they left in fear and great joy. This word fear is of awe, of wonder. And when God touches your life, that's what happens. You're left in awe and wonder. I sat there that night going, wow, God, did I ever underestimate who you are? Did I ever underestimate your love for me? Did I ever underestimate your plan for my life? Why did I ever question your goodness, your mercy, your faithfulness to me? Why? We're left in awe of who God is. And the resurrection leaves us with that awe this morning. Finally, it says in verse 8, and they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Same's true for you this morning. Jesus is ready to meet you and greet you with his love and his grace and his mercy. No matter where you're at, you may be somebody who's never even been to church before. Maybe somebody brought you this morning. God's speaking to you this morning. Maybe you've been in church your whole life, but you say, Pastor, I can't even identify with this personal experience of God's power and love touching my life. I need that this morning. He's waiting to greet you with his love and his mercy.